On today's installment of Moral Victories, we discuss how we spoke into existence the J.R. Smith vs. Lance Stevenson one-on-one series, Jay Feely's problematic gun tweet, and we bring on another old friend of mine, ESPN college football and basketball writer David Hale, and we get his thoughts on more than just football. You get a little bit of everything, including which Marvel character he would be. All on today's episode. Now, Mike, we heard from the people. They want some Denny.
Sports. The thrill of victory.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
The agony of defeat.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
Every loss teaches a lesson that's important for a young athlete's development.
I mean, I'm really disappointed in the progress that we've made.
But it's important to remember that sports is about having fun. Not winning.
You're here for one goddamn specific reason.
What's that, Earl?
Jack us!
Ah, you're full of shit. Fuck you.
This is Moral Victories with Jared Shanker.
You really think I give a flying what the people on the radio call say?
And welcome to the second episode of Moral Victories. They didn't lock us out of the studio. They did move the key on us, though. That's why we're recording a little bit later today than usual. Not that you guys would know. But this is also, we are the first podcast able to speak the NBA playoffs into existence. As anybody that listened to the first show, which is probably 4 to 5, we're not even going to look at the numbers because they're probably not great. But we proposed that Cavs Pacers should be a series, Lance Stevenson one-on-one versus J.R. Smith.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what we saw on Sunday night with Lance and J.R. both having some pretty good games. LeBron was okay with 32 points and a couple key layups at the end, but really it came down to Lance Stevenson and J.R. hitting that first quarter buzzer beater. So first podcast that can predict the future. Would you not say so, Doug?
Yeah. I also won $50 on JR over 13.5 points plus rebounds.
What do you finish with combined?
16 overall. So if he did not, I think even if he didn't hit that half court three before the end of the first half, still would have cashed it, but it made me feel good knowing that JR was just putting it up like that.
Definitely the most JR shot of all time from he still had about 70 feet to go. He's going to his left, shooting to his right, and I think he just swished it.
Oh, yeah, it was JR swish for sure. I can't really remember who was commentating the game, but they made a comment of the sorts of something. It was like, yeah, a lot of players wouldn't have shot that because they worry about their career three-point postseason percentage, but not JR. And I was like, yeah, you're right. He doesn't even know what a percentage is.
he's never checked once. That's stats. Stats are for nerds.
Nah. You know, if you're trying to get the pipe, though, he definitely knows the percentages there.
Always about 95%. Of course, this is the one and only Dougie Dash coming back for episode numero dos.
Dipset is the greatest hip-hop group of all time, I decided today, by the way, so
I'd be Juelz, but that's for another story.
Are you Juelz?
I would be.
Yeah, I'd be Cam. You're Jim Jones, Mikey P.
I'm fine with that.
Mike does live in a gutter neighborhood, so he would definitely be Jim Jones, who his mom never left the hood, even when he got famous. I saw it on Love and Hip Hop.
Jim Jones?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's still uptown, isn't he?
Probably.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out Dipset.
Yeah, Dipset fucking rules,
nobody listening to this show has any idea what Dipset is, but that is Mikey P producing. But that's the perfect segue talking Dipset to get right back into NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
And I feel after we roasted the Cavs on last week after their game one loss, they came back and won game two, and now they're tied 2-2, and it feels like the Cavs are back to probably being the favorite in the East again. Celtics are looking shaky.
Celtics look bad.
Probably, but Philly. It's just disheartening to see a LeBron team struggle the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. Like, very used to him just coasting up until probably game three of the conference finals.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're still probably the best team, but it's definitely... This year is unlike any other previous year for a LeBron-led team, I feel like, where this series could go seven, I think.
Easily.
I would think there's a good chance it definitely goes seven. The Pacers have played the best over these first four games, but it almost doesn't matter as long as you have LeBron James and...
Company?
Like, yeah, I'm trying to think of the best word to put it. Because
LeBron in the game?
I mean, it seems clear. I mean, the storyline that I was reading before the game was how LeBron's just going to pack it in because it's easier to leave Cleveland if they lose in the first round than later on, which I think he could leave Cleveland no matter what.
Leave, right, I agree. I think he can leave whenever. It doesn't really
and I
matter.
Think it looks like he's going to leave, which was great, is going to be great for basketball. I think what I heard is that they're also, he's maybe looking into that one year contracts from now on. And
yeah,
just doing that over these last 15 years. These last 15 years, just go.
Just be the Eric Clapton of basketball.
Yeah, Jazz,
Philly, Lakers.
Yeah, Jazz, Mavs. Maybe just go to the Rockets. Make the first like.
Super team.
That'd be nice. Or the 10-day contracts too.
Would that team really though? Would a Houston team with LeBron be better than Miami in its prime?
I just feel like you never know how players are going to come together. I think everybody thought Oklahoma was probably going to be much better than they were this year. Melo is should probably just retire at this point.
Is he that bad?
If he can't, I don't even think he's at the point where he's hitting just like, you know, open like mid-range jumpers, which is pretty much what he based his whole entire career on. So we sure know he's not playing defense.
Is he the third worst player on, or not third worst, the third best, like between those? I can't say I've watched a ton of Thunder this year.
Yeah, he's definitely. Paul George is the second best, and Russ is Russ.
Of the big three. Yeah.
Mello is like a non-factor.
Is he not as good as Steven Adams?
No, Steven Adams is a better player than Mello this year. On that team and this year.
You know, Steven 100%. Adams is like one of 16 kids or something insane.
Yeah. Fucking badass, dude. And he's Australian.
I think he's New Zealandish. I think he's Kiwi.
Whatever he is, I like him.
Yeah, he's got this.
I think all the kids are like 6'5" and above too.
He uses mate, so you know, it's somewhere down there. And
I'm a big Steven Adams guy. I would put him probably in my top 15.
Yeah, he kind of looks like Khal Drogo.
You know?
Put him in the top 15.
Yeah, why not? I'm not talking about talent wise of people I enjoy.
For sure.
I mean, my top three is probably Lance, JR, and Kyle Korver.
No, it's not.
I like Korver.
You like Korver in the top three?
Man, why not? He's silky.
You can't think of anybody that you like better than Kyle Korver.
No. I'm going to say Kyle Korver, and I'm going to move on there. We're going to end it with Kyle Korver getting a shot.
No.
Why can't Kyle Korver be in somebody's top three?
Top three what? Like favorite white spot jump three shooters? Like
if I'm making a top three in that, he'd be in that too.
Well, he'd be in that for sure.
Yeah.
White, clunky three-point shooters, he's definitely in that mix. But you don't like... I mean,
I just can't get down with this. I need somebody else.
Nope, we're going to end it. No.
And it's Cantor...
Cantor for sure.
Cantor's the man. Bro, he's like an outlaw in Turkey.
Yeah, he's a terrorist. Yeah. He's a known fugitive.
Fucking badass.
That's way better
than Kyle. Erdogan is like the prime minister over there.
Yeah, yeah, real piece of garbage.
I think Cantor called him a clown, and then they were like, all right, now we got to arrest you.
Yeah, you have a fatwa.
So he just can't go back?
Yeah, he can't go back to Turkey.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, sorry, family. Like,
all right, well, that's
we'll
cool. I really think that's cool, but I want Korver in my top three.
Yeah.
All right.
Moving on. Problematic tweet over the weekend. Feely's got a gun. Feely's got a gun.
Is it bad?
So
I can only see Not Another Teen Movie in my head.
Yeah.
When I hear that song.
Well, Jamie's got a gun!
It's a millennial podcast, so it's what we all thought of. But for those who have not seen, Jay Feely, fresh off the golf course in his white belt, made sure that he got a picture with his daughter before she went to prom, which is very sweet. You don't want to miss, you don't want to lose those moments as a dad. So he takes the picture with his daughter and her daughter's date, but he's holding a pistol.
Yeah.
Carry 4.5s like change for a 20.
it's not a great look in 2018.
Regardless of the socio-political implications of this picture. Yeah, regardless of that.
Do you think
he was just someone's about to snap the picture and he goes, "Wait, give me one second." And he just sprints into the house. You could tell too that wasn't a first take. That was at least picture number 3. Like they have to, like Jay Feely comes over, asks to see it. Can we do one more?
Yeah.
I want to know what Jay Feely did to his prom date on prom night that led him to be like, "Oh man, I remember what I did, so now I need to threaten my daughter's boyfriend with a handgun so he doesn't do the same thing." What kind of skeletons in Jay Feely's closet
You think he's overcompensating?
No, I mean, who knows?
For something that he did?
I think you're both wrong. I think Jay Feely thinks this is hilarious. Jay Feely took a picture that he was like, "Bro, this is going to be so funny." And then it made it onto and also, I don't really understand why it's made it onto I know that it's like, it doesn't, if he was still playing, like if he was still part of the Giants organization, he is retired, right?
Yeah.
Okay, making sure. You never really know with
fucking Yeah, he's punters. Retired.
But
yeah, and I don't think he ever played for the Giants either.
No, he did.
Jay Feely? Yeah,
did he? Yeah.
Really? Oh, I mean, he definitely kicked like 45 different teams, even though there's only 32 in the NFL.
No, yeah, he played for the Giants. He was really famous for missing 3 kicks against Seattle.
Yeah,
I thought he was really famous.
And they lost the game.
He was really famous for wearing gloves on both hands, even though he's a kicker.
I think he does that too.
Oh, he definitely does that. I'm surprised he wasn't wearing them in the picture. Like, I thought that was just his hands.
Well, the first thing I thought of when I saw the picture reminded me of that he was a CBS announcer this year. They just randomly had him on the sideline. He was maybe the most, I don't want to, hey, go get your money, Jay Feely, but yeah. He was the most useless person in sports broadcasting this year. They just went to him, like if it so happened that he was at the right game where there was any type of field goal, they went to him for some field goal breakdown, as if the one thing the NFL was missing to give the true fan experience was somebody,
the kicker's perspective.
Yeah, was somebody to break down kicking, and that's what they had Jay Feely for.
Yeah, through the uprights with Jay Feely. Yeah, that was this segment.
Is that what it was called?
No, but it could have been. I could work for CBS for program development.
That's branding.
But here's
what really is nerve wracking about Jay Feely holding that gun is he's got. I'm worried about his sense of reality, because I don't remember if it was last year or 2 years ago he was calling a college game and it went viral. It was some Eastern Michigan versus somebody, and the kicker tries a 50-yard field goal and it's not even close.
Yeah.
It's way wide right, and the Jay Feely
had flashbacks.
No, he goes he's like, "Wow. That one barely just made it. I thought it wasn't going to make it, but it hit the crossbar and bounced in." And there's just dead silence because the other play-by-play guy has no idea what's going on because the dude just missed it by about 10 yards.
Jay Feely's.
I don't know what Jay Feely's looking at.
He sounds a lot like John Sterling. It's caught. No, it's over the fence. And you're listed in the game. So I understand. And the picture that you're painting is that he just wasn't very good at his job. I also wonder about, with this whole gun thing, like, if I'm the boyfriend, first of all, you're a kicker, right? You don't even get Mr. Feely. It's like, come on, Jay.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, Jay. You're a kicker. I know you're not bringing the ruckus to me.
He doesn't fear him.
No. How could you?
He's pretty much just like...
The kid in the picture is taller. He's taller than Jay.
Then I'm going to get that gun.
Yeah, and then he's going to get his daughter.
The natural transition to some other breaking news today is that apparently Tom Brady's going to play in 2018.
Ah,
are you sure?
Which nobody knew until it was broken today that that story was going to happen.
Doesn't he want to play until he's like 77?
Yeah.
I don't understand how this one became a story.
He was like, I'll just wait until I actually get Social Security, and then I'll just retire, yeah. Right? Like, that's what he's waiting for, I believe? Or because he thinks he's going to live until he's 154?
Or he's very pliable.
Well, you know, he's does drink...
getting massaged.
He does drink 12 different types of water.
Is that true?
Yes. Yes, all different types. And the reason why he doesn't get sunburn is because he drinks a lot of water.
Well, he's very... Yeah, he's hydrated.
I think it's also because he kisses his son open mouth on the lips.
Ah, yes.
You know, probably on a daily basis.
Well... He's also very pliable. That's what he said is the big thing. The hydration one, I did hear about the hydration. He doesn't get sunburnt because of that. But I thought it was in the news story where his agent says that he's coming back.
I hate Tom Brady so much.
There's a little, actually, it's not even a little shot across the bow. My man, Don Yee, is straight up taking shots at Bill Belichick and the Patriots.
It's not straight up. It was a subtweet.
It was not veiled.
He did not at Bill Belichick at all. He did not at Bill.
He about as added Bill Belichick as for somebody that's not on social media. He said...
It's a subtweet.
The most... this is not an exact quote, but he said...
Say it anyway, baby.
Tom Brady's training was as good as it's ever been those 4 weeks when he was suspended in training on his own. And there's that whole argument in the offseason so far about the TB12 method versus Belichick not being happy that guys were doing it. And it just kind of seems like he's taking a subtle shot at Belichick by saying that TB12 method gave him the best training of his late career. Those 4 weeks that he was doing it on himself. Because it's clear Tom Brady's got... He has a long-term play with this TB12 thing. That's kind of his future. Football is now.
Really?
I was just going to say the same thing. I was just planning on it being over.
I was just planning on TB12 being over once he stopped wearing a jersey with the number 12 on it. And now he's just TB. And he's just a guy who hopefully will go away.
No, he's not going anywhere, dude.
If Peyton Manning went away...
No, TB12 is... Peyton Manning will be back.
The Alex Guerrero TB12 thing is... here to stay.
What?
Look at who he's had working out with him.
What thing is it,
dude?
That,
it's going to be. He's
that's
marketing
the beauty of it.
This as
nobody
like,
knows.
I think this is going to wind up being like a legitimate like P90X kind of marketing thing.
It's trash,
right?
It's trash.
It might be, but that doesn't mean he's not going to try to make tons of money off of it.
I did P90X one time.
You did? I actually remember this.
Yeah,
you were pretty ripped
back in the day.
Yeah. Hey.
Now to fit the radio profile, I've decided to just let myself completely go.
Be a fat guy.
Yeah.
Hit the demo.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Hit the demo of the fat 40-year-old.
Oh, demographic.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Look, all you could do is aspire to be the Pope.
The Pope.
He looks good.
For all of you who don't know it, Mike Francesa, the one and only. Shout out.
I'm going to try the TB12 method.
What is it? Drink water?
It works.
And
I don't know, but it works.
Open mouth kiss other men?
I'm definitely going to be in on the TB12 method now.
That's all I needed to hear.
Yeah.
I was doing that for fun.
Yeah.
Let the record show. Tom Brady's persona non grata in the Flynn household forever.
And he's upset about it.
No. We won't be a pro Tom Brady podcast.
No.
We'll clearly be split. I'm a pro Tom Brady guy. I'm more of Jimmy. I'm ready to transition. I'm a Jimmy G guy at this point.
Yeah,
I don't know how you
cooler.
Could be. And over
gotta,
under over
well,
under
he's hotter. Jimmy G is hotter
he
than
is
Tom
hot.
Brady.
Well, he's the hottest guy
bro,
in the NFL.
Bro, you got to
no
support
doubt.
Italians.
Is he the hottest guy in the NFL?
Probably.
Yeah.
You, as much as I never want to give the Patriots any due. You could say that the 2016 New England Patriots was the hottest NFL team ever assembled.
Yeah.
Tom Brady.
Edelman.
Jimmy G. Edelman. Dola. That's a Mount Rushmore
that'll
of hot white guys in the NFL.
In
dude, my
we'll
girlfriend
never see
loves
it. We'll never
Edelman.
See a team like that again.
I would yeah. pay probably $12 to see like a calendar with just those four guys made. You know, like,
and
a, fire, like a fireman
yeah,
calendar.
Yeah. That's probably out there somewhere. It's got to be.
Why not? If not... The NFL will sell anything. I'll call Raj tomorrow, and we'll get this shit printed and out in stores by end of week today. End of week.
You could just do 12 months of Jimmy, and that would still sell.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. One
Jimmy
with puppies.
G
are they,
yeah.
I saw the over-under for them is 8.5.
I don't know their schedule, though.
NFC,
I'll look it up.
NFC West.
I'll look it up. Well, they're playing the Lions, so that's a loss for the 49ers right then and there.
Probably.
How you doing?
Probably. No, I don't want to see their schedule. I'm taking the over. They're gonna have a winning record this year.
What are you basing that on? Last year?
Jimmy Garoppolo. He's never lost.
He is undefeated.
That is true. He is undefeated.
Exactly.
He is number one.
He's never lost. So you're giving me seven. He's got seven opportunities to have his first loss ever. Yeah, of course they're gonna get 9 wins at least. So that's a lock. We're not gonna do gambling segments today, except for our interview with David Hale later on. But 9 wins for the Niners is definitely a lock.
I think it's close.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're about
it's close
to say yes.
It's Vegas,
you're about to say yes.
But there's a lot of teams on here. Actually, you know what? You just never know. Everybody thought the Giants were going to be good, and then they were like the worst team ever. So who knows? But we'll just roll with it and see what happens. We're going to document it, write it down.
Do you see the Lamar Jackson? They're saying Lamar Jackson could be a Patriots pick.
I did see that they did spend a top 30 draft visit on him, and that they were quote unquote intrigued.
What do you think that means?
I don't know. Who knows? Who really knows Belichick?
It'd be cool to see him as a Pat and just learn for a few years under Brady. And that automatically, you know, the narrative around Lamar Jackson is going to change if the Patriots take him.
Of course. Come on. It's the laziest. But it's the laziest thing in the world.
But at the same time,
completely
accurate. If they do take him, it probably means he's going to be awesome.
See, this is the thing. At what point, we've probably said this about 6 different Pats backup quarterbacks that have, Tom has just still been there. Even if they draft Lamar, there's zero guarantee that it's going to be him that is the one who ends up inheriting the kingdom, so to speak. They traded both their backup quarterbacks in, a 3-week span last year.
Brissett and then Jimmy G.
Yeah. So
Matt
who knows?
Castle. And then, have they had anybody else that was going to be the next
Hoyer,
guy?
But it was never
Hoyer,
really.
Yeah, he was never going to be the next guy.
Ryan Mallett.
Castle was legit supposed to be the next
Castle
guy.
Went 11-5.
Well, he went 11-5 that year.
Yeah. And then they traded him to the Chiefs, right? And then he just 1 year and then gone.
And they traded him to somebody.
He's been around the world and back again.
Yeah,
he went
to a couple places.
But the Chiefs is what I remember him most for, probably. You're right.
I can't wait for somebody. God, I hope Josh Allen goes number one.
I'm becoming an enormous Rosen guy.
Yeah, I like Rosen a lot, too.
I think Rosen will be really good.
I like him because
I just want to see Josh Allen go number one.
I like Allen, too. Allen's just
I don't know if he's going to be good.
Nah, he's a stud, though. So I always root for thoroughbreds, and that's what he is. But with Rosen,
classic dropback.
It's just everybody hates him, and I don't get it because he's not a football guy.
I think first I don't know why Jim Mora was ever allowed to coach. How Jim Mora Jr. How he ended up being the UCLA coach and being there as long as he did is the NFL is so odd and funny in how they just or not the NFL but just football in general, how they just keep bringing retread coaches back. Jim Mora is gonna land at some plum job probably soon.
Nah, I think this is probably the end of the road for him. Maybe he comes back as a position coach in the NFL somewhere, but
it sounds like he's probably positioning himself to get an analyst job as much as he's doing some talking about about Josh Rosen. Seems like he's trying to set himself up for an analyst job, but
yeah, but I think most people heard those comments and were like, the what? If you're setting yourself up for an analyst job, then I don't think that was the way to go to get that.
Yeah. If I'm taking one, I guess I'm going Josh Rosen. Actually, I'm going Baker Mayfield. He's got moxie.
He does. He does have a lot of moxie.
Young John Moxon and a young Johnny Manziel.
Do you think 4 quarterbacks are off the board by the 10th pick?
Yes. That's Darnold, Allen, Rosen, and Baker. Yeah.
By 10.
Yeah. Probably by 6.
Really?
Damn, yeah. Wow.
So top six are those four, Chubb and
Saquon.
Those four. Yeah. Saquon, Chubb, and those four.
Yeah. That's it as the top six. It's going to be three quarterbacks plus those two for the top five, and someone's going to trade up.
To grab
a quarterback. Yeah.
Right.
That would be four.
Right. We'll see. It's only
Thursday.
3 days away. So yeah. Excited. It's one of my favorite nights of the year. Even though it's just like, who really cares? Because it's just on Twitter 5 minutes before
the picks.
Yeah. But there's still some inherent excitement of like, oh, like who's going where?
Yeah.
But it's something that you could watch and miss literally. If you don't watch it, you are missing nothing.
I know. Yeah. The NFL is so good.
Unless you like to watch Roger Goodell get booed for 3 hours,
which
pretty much happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's really all it's good for.
So the Tampa Bay Bucks are going to have a parrot make one of their picks? You think they're going to boo the parrot?
What could go wrong?
Yeah. Just I don't understand how it's going to work. Are you going to put like a note? Is it going to be like a carrier pigeon?
So I've been thinking about this. Because we talked about it a little bit earlier today. How long does it take for the parrot to learn the name? And then, so like, is a handler going to get the name and be like, okay, it's, you know, XYZ. And then whisper it to the parrot, like, XYZ, XYZ, XYZ. And then the parrot's going to go out there and be like, wah, wah.
I don't,
you know, like, I just
I
don't
can
understand.
Tell you
I don't
one think the thing parrot. For sure. That when the producers of the whatever's airing on TV found out they were doing that, they were just like, "Oh, fuck! You got to be kidding me! Why just have Roger Goodell
probably,
it?"
It had to have been their idea.
No way, dude.
I don't think the parrot's gonna say it. I feel like it's gonna be some type of carrier pigeon system.
Well, then why do parrots even fly? Really?
Yeah, they fly.
I usually do see them just kind of hanging.
What's toucan? Oh, he's a toucan.
I'm very.
It's also a cartoon.
I'm very much under the impression that the parrot is going to actually speak it because
there's no chance.
Why else would it be a parrot? They're known for being able to talk.
There's too much. There's
why
too much.
Why would you
risk?
Have an eagle or a hawk or a falcon or like something cool?
Apparently, it's some bird sanctuary, and they settled on a parrot as being.
I think the parrot enough. Is announcing the pick.
I'm here for that. I'd give up my Saturday to watch the fourth round to watch that parrot make the pick. What happens if they trade it though? Is that it? Like the parrot lost its chance?
Yeah, right. Forget what the parrot said.
The bird sanctuary closes down Parrot's because out. They don't get the publicity of the pick.
Do you think the parrot gets to wear like a little Bucks hat? Like when he goes up to the podium, he's wearing it.
I'm way more excited about. I'm not even gonna watch the first.
Do you
round.
Think a,
I'm just gonna watch the pirate pick?
Do you think a pirate is gonna walk up to the podium and the parrot's gonna be on his shoulder?
Well, no, they're doing it from Tampa. In? The parrot's gonna be in Tampa.
Wait, the parrot's not flying to Dallas?
No.
All right. Well, then you know what? I don't know the logistics of how this is all gonna work.
I don't like it though. It's gonna be a mess.
I heard that they're expecting. I don't know if this was maybe there's one too many zeros, but I think I read 250,000 people to show up for the draft this year.
They're just gonna do it's outside. I thought it
it's
was
in Dallas.
I thought it was in AT&T Stadium.
Have you ever been to AT&T Stadium?
I have.
So it's kind of like once you're in there though, like it's inside outside, like
yeah,
everything.
It's big.
I think they're expecting a lot of people, which just I'm annoyed.
Yeah.
I'm annoyed. I have nothing else.
We're gonna do this real quick. Anthony Rizzo of the Cubs says the most correct thing I've ever heard in my entire life, and that baseball is way too long, and there's no reason they should ever be playing in 20-degree weather, and 162 games is excessive, and they need to cut it out, and I'm about to give him a Hall of Fame vote.
I couldn't disagree with Rizzo more. Based on the fact that, like, one, I agree, the weather thing is ridiculous. They should probably start the season 2 weeks later in, like, mid-April. Like, you could have started it probably, like, last week or maybe a little bit week before that.
Baseball should never be snowed out.
Correct. You should also not have home games in the beginning of April in northern cities. Like,
yeah, Chicago.
Do better with the scheduling. Yeah. But why is it too long? What are you, Anthony Rizzo, tell me your day. You're either, A, sitting on a bench, eating sunflower seeds, talking. You're B, standing in the field, eating sunflower seeds, talking and spitting.
Their sodium levels must be through the roof. It's not healthy.
See, you're
that's
running.
That's too much salt and sunflower seeds.
See, you're
I'm worried about them.
You're holding a runner on, or you're just covering a base. A first baseman, especially with this point of view, is very frustrating and upsetting to hear.
I want to hear DH. I want just the DHs to come out and say.
I love baseball because it's the laziest sport.
Yeah,
there is.
You really can golf do it and watch. Like, you could watch it and do other shit in your house while you're doing it.
I think a golfer golfing is exerting far more energy than a baseball player is playing baseball. It's just short bursts of action.
They're similar. You never have to run full speed in golf.
Well, you should never be running, period, in golf, which is another nice thing about it. Yeah. You are walking up hills, and you're swinging far more often.
But if you got that cart, though.
Is golf a sport?
It's a very, very hard game to play.
It's a game.
That's a good answer.
I'm a golfer.
Yeah. You're a skilled gamer.
I am. I really am.
And no chance are you.
I really am.
Yeah, he doesn't qualify as an athlete, but you're a skilled gamer.
But no, just overall, I think Rizzo, I get it. But 162 just has such a nice feel to it. I really, really enjoy 81 and 81. So let's just leave it how it is. And you know what? Nobody's going to give up the extra money, and nobody's going to give up the advertising dollars. So
it'll never happen.
Sorry. Thanks, Anthony. But
yeah, you're right. It'll never happen. And with that, let's get to our interview with my old ESPN colleague, David Hale. David, how are you?
I feel like I'm well. I'm excited. I feel like, you know, we're getting the super team back together in a week when the Avengers movie comes out. It seems fitting that we would have so many elite people, you know, like you and me, having a sports discussion on a week in which this, you know, elite team is having a movie come out too. I'm surprised they haven't made the movie about us, quite frankly.
I believe it is in production. I think I've heard you're going to play Black Panther.
I think that goes without saying.
Yeah, really. And I'm going to be whoever Scarlett Johansson is, ScarJo.
I have often thought you bore a striking similarity to ScarJo.
It's the the jawline.
Yeah.
And the developed chest.
Yes, it's probably the less said about my Scarlett Johansson chest, the better. But yes. Anyway. Long story short, it is lovely to be with you, sir.
Yeah, I do miss you, yes. All right, first, we're going to put you on the hot seat right away, David. Miami, back?
No.
Oh, no. You just teased them.
I was a tease.
That was cold.
Yes. You know, they are closer to being back, and I think this is a really good team, but I think they've got the same problem they had last year, and they don't have a quarterback. And I just don't – I think there's a cap to how good they can be with the quarterback play that they got last year. And it's sort of like, you know, there's been this waiting process for Nikosi Perry to be the next big thing. And I think people are starting to wonder whether that's ever going to happen. I think it's pretty clear that the best quarterback they currently have on their roster is the same guy who was their quarterback last year. And I just don't think he is going to – get it done. So, you know, it depends. Miami, whether you want to say Miami's back or not, it's by how you want to define back. Miami is a better program than it has been in a long time. Is it back to being a legitimate national title contender? I don't see it at this point until they have got better play from the most important position on the field.
They were so close. Well, maybe not so close. They ended up getting blown out in an ACC championship game. But they were on that playoff bubble for quite some time. We did this with Andrea last week. Is it safe to assume? I know we're 9 months in advance, so we're going to burn through this college football talk at the beginning before we just get to some BS and like we did for so many years at ESPN. Is it safe to, if I'm going to get your playoff teams, I feel like I just need to get three. You're going to put Bama in there, I'm assuming. So let me get the other three who you're super early playoff teams for next January.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it and I think Bama and Clemson are probably the two best teams again, which is just par for the course over the last few years. The rest of it, though, is sort of the team that I really like, and I always kind of am hesitant because it's not blue chip talent, and blue chip talent does tend to win out. But the team that I really like is Wisconsin. I think that that's a team that ended on a high note last year. They have a lot of talent back. They're going to be really good on defense. Alex Hornibrook really took a step forward, I think, as the year went along last year. I know that the more talented teams are in Ann Arbor and Columbus in the Big Ten, but I'm high on Wisconsin. I think that could be one of the teams. And then I guess I might lean Washington as the fourth team. I don't know if I feel great about that, but they're kind of on the bubble there, and I think that they're the best team in the Pac-12. I think it's more a question of whether or not the Pac-12 is going to have enough good teams to build a resume for anybody.
Yeah, you could say the Pac-12 is trash.
Yes.
We got that college football talk out of the way. Let's go on to what we really want to talk about, which is
we had a little again.
What's that?
Scarlett Johansson's chest again? Are we going back to that?
We'll save that for once, for when we're off the air. We had a little, I would say a minor, a small Twitter exchange the other day about how replay has kind of maybe outlived its original purpose. It's just they do it too often. They ruin the momentum of the game. I mean, Notre Dame and Mississippi State, that women's college basketball game where we had the best ending ever, and then they got to review it for 10 minutes and then bring them back onto the court for 0.01 seconds or whatever it was. I feel like replay has outlived its original mission. Where do you stand? Like, do you think, is it fixable? Do we need to get rid of replay? I'm kind of at the point where I would just get rid of it completely and live with, if they mess up two calls a game, then whatever.
Yeah, and I mean, look, the ironic thing about all of this is it hasn't removed the idea of messing up calls. I mean, everybody can remember the Seahawks-Packers game a few years ago with the replacement refs. Those of us who covered the ACC fondly remember the Miami and Duke ending on their Miami kick return a few years ago. I mean, it's not without precedent that replay or not, important calls are still being blown. And yet, I think the thing that has always made me laugh about football and has only gotten more so as we get more fundamentally ingrained into the minutiae of replay is that it's the sport that wants to show replay and measure all these little things. And what does it catch and what isn't? It's so down to this nitty-gritty detail in these replays, and yet a spot is like the most half-assed thing in the world, you know? Like the actual where the football belongs is just like, I think he ended there. The guy puts it down and, you know, then they move some chains, and even that sort of a rough approximation. Like it's a sport based on rough approximation that we are now spending minutes upon minutes upon minutes in the midst of action to go over minutiae. And it's like all of us, if you've watched football for more than three games, you can essentially turn the sound off and go word for word what the announcers are saying because it's the same speech every time. And it just, you know, football is a sport that I obviously love and I've spent a lot of time watching and talking about, but there is a lot of breaks in the action in football as it is, and this just adds more to it. And it's just an utterly frustrating thing to watch as a fan. It's one thing when you're sitting in the stadium and you got a beer in your hand and you're with your buddies. It's another thing when you're sitting on your couch and you have
I know you. You have one beer in each hand.
I actually go with the foam dome is the key. The point is it's too easy to look for something else to watch now. And if you're going to keep breaking up the action like that, I don't care what sport it is, but I think football is suffering from it to some extent. It makes it an unpleasant thing to watch on television, and the biggest asset that football has always had is that it is a TV sport, and I think replay is taking away from that asset.
Now, you are a Eagles fan.
I am.
Yeah. Won a Super Bowl this past season. A Cubs fan won a World Series 2 years ago. So who are you rooting for this year? You gonna jump on the Rockets bandwagon or maybe start buying some Vegas Golden Knights gear?
I am a complete bandwagon Sixers fan. I am a Philadelphia sports fan with the exception of the Cubs. I grew up during a very bad time for the Phillies. I was a big Ryan Sandberg fan. I ended up a Cubs fan. So I have fought many a battles alongside them. Other than that, I'm a Philly sports fan. I will say my interest level in the Sixers had been very low prior to this year, but that is an awfully fun team to watch right now.
Yeah, it was hard to get behind the Sixers after they let Eric Snow go about a decade ago.
Yes, I listen, I still haven't quite gotten past Jeff Hornacek leaving, so, you know.
I hear you. But up until this recent Phillies success with the Phillies and the Eagles, the only team to bring home a championship for a while was the Philadelphia Soul. And
hey,
co-host Dougie Dash is the nephew of the old Soul owner, who was Mr. John Bon Jovi, if you'd like to thank Douglas on behalf of the family for bringing Philadelphia a championship that really set the way for
Eagles. Like to thank him for that. I would like to thank him for Slippery When Wet, which was the first cassette tape I ever owned. And I could probably go on for a long time about my general love of Bon Jovi. And let's not forget the Soul's other co-owner, Ron Jaworski. I think the best ownership group in professional sports, if you ask me.
I'd like to think so. NFL draft. We're not good at transition here, David, so we're just going to jump right into it.
You just edit that in later.
Yeah, you know what? We're going to give people the behind the looks. We're not all makeup. We're just going in sweatpants, hair tied, chilling with no makeup on. So they're going to get the whole nitty gritty of how bad this podcast is.
I was not told I had to be wearing pants for this interview. So,
well, you are going to fit in just perfect. We got to get you to the studio sometime now. Now that I hear that news. Man, you just completely threw me off with the thought of you not wearing pants. NFL draft. Lamar Jackson, you covered him his 3 years. Covered him his Heisman year, obviously. Give me a Lamar Jackson scalding hot take.
You know, am I sold on him as a first-round pick? No. But I am sold that he is vastly being underrated by a lot of people. I mean, there's people who have just written him off completely. I think he needs to go somewhere where the coaching staff is going to not be Bobby Petrino. That's going to give him some opportunity to grow and learn without being sort of under the gun. But look, there's not a quarterback in this draft with better tools than Lamar Jackson has. I mean, I think people want to think that he's not a good passer because he's such a good runner, but that's bull. He is an excellent passer. He's got one of the best arms in the draft. He can move around in the pocket really well. And he was playing in a pro system. That's the other thing, too. I mean, we're not talking about this guy who was pulled out of some tempo spread offense. I mean, he was asked to, you know, read defenses and adjust protections. And he's not this guy that I think a lot of people want to paint him to be. That said, you know, there are flaws in the game and the way that he performed at times last year. There's maybe some lack of improvement in some of the decision-making that he made throughout his career that I would consider to be a little bit of a red flag. But if you're just, I mean, look, we're in a draft where people are talking about Josh Allen going number one because of his tools. If we're talking about tools, Lamar Jackson has more of them than anybody. And I would certainly more rather have him than a guy who completed fewer passes at Wyoming.
But Lamar Jackson opted not to run the 40-yard dash. That's a huge. It's got to be a huge red flag. Maybe like you think he's not even fast enough for receiver at this point. He was just a little scared.
They should have him at tight end. That's.
I was gonna say middle linebacker, so he can't get exposed agility wise. Just like a straight.
That's probably
down,
fair. That's probably fair.
Downhill thud guy.
Yeah. He's never. There's no film that would suggest that he has those moves. So you're right. You're probably right.
I saw that there's some talk about targeting coming to the NFL. Now that I don't work at ESPN, I don't really have any genuine interest in fact-checking this stuff. I just pretty much go off what the internet says, except now I don't get paid to do it. But targeting, you've covered the college ball long enough to see how maddening targeting can be and the reviews and guys getting thrown out that shouldn't. Is the NFL going to make a huge mistake if they implement some type of targeting rule?
Well, I mean, to kind of fall back onto the replay discussion, this is just one more thing that is begging for hours of replay throughout the course of a season and endless discussion about what is and what isn't. Look, the bottom line is the reason for it is it makes some sense, and I get behind it. Look, we want to keep player safety, but I don't. Are players safer now than they were? I mean, do we have any actual evidence that targeting in college football has dramatically decreased the number of concussions or injuries? Has it had the reverse effect, where maybe some lower body injuries are more prevalent now? We don't have data, or at least I sure as heck haven't seen it, that suggests that the value is there, that what it's costing us to go through all of the replays, the suspensions of players, teams potentially losing a game because of this. I don't know that the evidence is there to suggest that it's been valuable for college football, let alone now adding it to the NFL product, which I think people are already unbelievably frustrated with in a lot of respects. And the funny thing is, it sort of has a two-pronged bad effect, in that, like, you have the old school guys who are like, you know, I'll watch football, but I love my old school hard-hitting football, and the targeting takes away from that and annoys them. And then you have sort of the new school fans who maybe can appreciate the idea of player safety, but also are probably a little less invested and more than happy to flip the channel if that, you know, the game gets dull, and now you're giving them more opportunity to flip that channel. It really doesn't, from a product standpoint, it doesn't benefit anyone. And I think from a safety standpoint, the jury is still out on how much impact it actually has.
Again, we transitioned poorly. Your Twitter account, one of the best, continuously one of the best images out there. I think we've settled on Talladega Nights. Is that correct?
That is correct. This was, so I am a man of the people. You know this about
me. Let's give people a little bit of background. So David has never had your own image on Twitter?
Oh, God, no. No. We don't need that. No one needs that.
I would disagree, but all right, so what was the original David Hale image?
So the original, when I was down in Tallahassee, prior to the Jared Shanker era, I had Burt Reynolds from Smokey and the Bandit. I felt, you know, he was a guy with a great car, a great mustache, and of course had some Florida State ties. It kind of evolved from there. I've tried to maintain the car mustache dynamic, so we've gone through Magnum PI. We had the dude from Big Lebowski. We had Richard Petty for a little while. And most recently, I had Michael Knight's evil twin, Garth Knight, from Knight Rider. So all of those. And then this year, I came up with my top 16 mustaches as a potential Twitter avatar. Held a contest. We voted on Twitter every day. Personally, I had some favorites myself. Goose from Top Gun was one that I was really rooting for that didn't pan out. But again, I am a man of the people. I would have liked to see it go to the Electoral College, but we didn't do that. We went with the popular vote, and so now here we are. We have a little shake-and-bake action from Talladega Nights, and I think, you know, it's growing on me. It's growing on me.
I don't think there's anything wrong with Cal Naughton Jr. I'm a huge Talladega Nights fan. I think the rightful winner is Cal Naughton Jr. It's a classic movie, and this is also, I'm a millennial. The Smokey and the Bandit stuff, that doesn't resonate with me.
There was a distinct voting demarcation between,
you could tell,
old school and new school. The millennials were ruining it all. If you're in our industry, when you change your Twitter avatar, this is the thing that you don't realize is going to happen. You're not used to seeing the new avatar, and you'll read something that you tweeted and think, some idiot just tweeted this stupid thing, and then you realize, oh no, that's my tweet. And I do this, I've had this happen at least a dozen times now, when I've been like, well, that's a stupid take. Oh wait, no, that was my take. So it's a matter of getting used to it, so that I can appreciate my own stupidity without being surprised by it.
That's why rule number one, never tweet. I've started to learn that, but I've gone through the same thing. I've finally accepted that everybody tells me I look like Bruno Mars, but I like to think I'm a more street version. I'm Twitter verified, street certified. So I go by Bruno Bars now.
Yeah,
So when I actually do tweet every once in a while, I'm like, who is Bruno Bars? I really like what this guy's all about, and then I realize it's me.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's, I can really appreciate this, because I've always said, if there's one thing that I wish you did more of, it's appreciate your own greatness. And so I'm glad to see this happening. And you are.
And if there's one thing I want,
oddly,
more,
both a more street version of Bruno Mars and a dead ringer for Scarlett Johansson. I don't know how you pulled it off. Few could. but it's a wonder.
Thank you. That actually means a lot to me. The only thing I like more than acknowledging my own greatness is when other people do it for me.
I will. Our common colleague Tim Bray, who is retiring as the sports information director at Clemson, was we went out a few weeks ago to send him on his merry way, and he was saying, you know, that the best advice he'd ever gotten was that it's fine to talk about how good you are, but it's much better if someone else is talking about how good you are. And he was using that in deference to the fact that the media is still important and teams can't just control their own content. But I think in this context, it actually works better in that for all of the times that you have tried to tell people how great you are, I do think it means more when I say it.
Thanks, man. I agree. Speaking of which, I'm no longer classified as a journalist, but you still are, sir. And so
it depends on who you're talking about.
That's true. And you're the most journalistic person in this AB conversation.
Okay, that's potentially fair.
So, we're talking about Twitter. So I need you to rank the three things that are the most important to you on the tweet box. Curling, which apparently is huge. If you're a media guy, you gotta love curling.
Uh-huh.
Pictures of empty stadiums about 5 hours before kickoff.
Oh, well, as someone who covers Miami, this is going to be up there, yeah.
Ooh, we're going to have to edit that part. Actually, that's going to be the promo. If they had a fan base, we would have a huge influx of listeners, but that's not going to happen. All right, so curling, empty stadium picks, press box meals, go.
Ooh, all right. Press box meals clearly is number one. And then I would say probably the empty stadium pictures. See, curling, I feel like this is more of a millennial thing. I think if you replace that with Springsteen commentary, then you would have, like, the over 40 sports writer attention span would go way up. So I think that number three spot is always a little bit of a generational pull.
So we gave Andrea Springsteen last week, and she's a Floridian. She's not about Springsteen. You're being a Philly guy. Do you guys try to claim Bruce as well?
I think that technically we get Billy Joel is what we get.
Ooh,
I think
that's not a good trade-off.
It's not my personal. I mean, I love Billy Joel. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't get in a car with him, but I love him. But yes, I feel like Philly is the Billy Joel to New York Springsteen. If we're kind of splitting hairs among Long Island, New Jersey, 80s and 70s rock acts, but. Yes, I'm very pro Springsteen. I feel like that's a necessity among. Obviously, I always wanted to look up to the older reporters. I wasn't like you. I wasn't this hotshot kid who just came in and said screw off to all of the veteran guys. I looked up to those guys and wanted to be like them. So I had to embrace my inner.
Well, you're a Syracuse grad, so you pretty much went to school with them.
That's 50%
of the field. Are your alumni brethren? So you had this whole networking opportunity. So I had to pull myself up
a networking opportunity with like 50 other people that were working like 50% of the ACC reporters.
That's true. All
not
right.
To mention our colleague who covers Syracuse is also a Penn State guy. So don't go high road in me.
All right, you got me. I'll take the loss there. And
excellent. I'm 1-0 on the show now.
Well, there's still some time.
Okay.
Actually, you're probably you actually had a very good start to your college football Hail picks this year. So I was gonna say you'll probably drop to 1-5, but you actually were very, very good gambling, at least on what you put on Twitter. I'm sure there were significantly more losses because nobody ever beats the book. We're all just giving money away. But what do you got going on this weekend as far as what are you looking at? I got a couple NFL draft props that I like. I really want to take Bradley Chubb to go under 4.5. I'm thinking he's going to end up 4. But if Saquon goes 2 and then there's the run on quarterbacks, that could get dicey. I don't know if you're looking at
quarterback run is what would worry me there. I see that happening.
And I have Lamar going over 27, which is not looking great right now. Should I double down on over 20? I think that's what the new over-under is at, 20.5.
Yeah, I saw something earlier that was like 18.5, and that seemed incredibly low number.
Yeah, I don't like the trend. I still feel like coaches, like the NFL doesn't know what to do with the quarterback like Lamar, that they can put out all these teasers and have it in the media that he's trending and going to go super high, and then coaches will still just squeeze up and freak out about having a guy who can run really well at quarterback, and he's going to drop.
You know who's going to take him? New England's going to take him.
You think so?
That's what I think.
I wonder if that's the self-fulfilling prophecies where people just start saying, oh, I heard New England's really interested, and then all of a sudden it becomes New England is the team to get him. But you really think New England would take Lamar?
Because I think this is what Bill Belichick does. He just somehow does the thing that no one else had the balls to do, and then it benefits him. Like, I don't understand how people keep trusting him to not outdo them. And I think Lamar, like, I think that's a perfect fit for him. He can go there. He doesn't have to start right away. He'll get the rough edges refined. I think it could work. I think it would work really well.
All right, well.
Although Brady's also going to play till he's 60, so I don't know. Who knows?
I did see, I don't know how it was even discussed, but, like, breaking news today was that Tom Brady's going to play in 2018, which is, I guess, breaking news.
But dog bites man, yes.
All right, so what else? I don't know if you got anything you're looking at, if you're looking at some NFL draft props. Give me something that I can blame you for when I take the same bet and lose.
Oh, see, I should have prepped for this more. Here's the thing. I ended my college basketball tournament on a very, very, very bad run, and so I've been trying to just dip my toe back into the water a little bit. I'm trying to be safe about these things.
I just did my first baseball bet the other day. I'm mostly just football, and then I got into a little bit of college basketball, did terrible, so I swore off I'm never betting basketball again until the NBA Finals.
All right. I've won my last two NBA games, though. I shouldn't take much credit for them. It was just luck. So stay away from that. Where do they have Baker going? Where's Baker Mayfield? What's the pick of him?
I want to say it's probably like 4.5. It's whether he goes to the Jets or not, I believe, is probably what it's going to be.
I'm taking the over on Baker. I don't think he goes that high. I think he falls.
All right, you know what? There's this prop, David, and if people are going to really make some money, let's go big. Let's go big. There's one where you got to pick the order of the five quarterbacks. So I think depending on what it is, I think the lowest one is like plus 500. So I'm going to throw a Frankie on whatever you tell me to do. Give me the five, and I'm going to sign over my bank account to it.
All right. I think I'm going Rosen, Darnold, Mayfield, Allen, Lamar.
You think Allen's going to go four? Did you see how far he threw the football the other day? Like 80 yards.
I know. I just think he's not good. He's not good. And I realize the Browns are a team that gets to pick a quarterback. I'm just not buying. I'm holding out hope that there is enough people who will say, smart people who will say, we really want to roll the dice on this. Look, I'm trying to get you some money here. You know, I'm not playing it safe. I'm not playing it safe. I'm giving you gold here.
I want the long shots, yeah. All right, so Rosen, Darnold, Baker, Josh Allen, and Lamar?
That's my fivesome, yes.
All right, so I'm going to lock that up. That's a lock?
Yes, it is.
All right, it's officially been locked.
Tape later.
It's probably one of those bike locks that are easily breakable, but it is a lock.
I did not mention which kind of lock.
Exactly, it's definitely not a master lock. But there you have it, David Hale.
This segment brought to you by the good people at Master Lock.
No, this is actually the unsponsored Nextel two-way segment. I don't know if Nextel is actually still around, but if they are, they're not officially a sponsor, but we like them.
Okay.
Well, like, you remember like the old ones? It's like the, it was like the two way. You've got to beep them, and then it's like you pretty much had walkie talkies.
Yeah. Just,
but
yeah,
for $100 a month.
Yeah.
That's what we endorse here.
I feel like in like 10 more years they'll be like kind of retro cool to have again. It'll be like Zima and Crystal Pepsi. Like they'll just be like some hipster in Brooklyn walking around with some Nextels.
Zimas are good. You had to have come up in the Zima era.
I mean, it depends on how you want to call come up. I mean, I was not 21 during the Zima era, but I might have had one or two.
Just one or two, yeah. But thank you, David. I always enjoy talking to you. We will have to get up soon. I'm sure you'll, as a Philadelphian native, we'll see you up here soon. So, and whenever you do, come by the studio, man.
I will do my best. I look forward to it. I'll bring you some Wawa.
Oh, I had Wawa the other day. It's still not as good as Sheetz. Inside joke.
Yeah, you're wrong. You're wrong.
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right. See you, man.
And with that, let's get to our moral victories presented by the Odessa Permian Panthers that taught us what a moral victory is really like. You win in your heart, not on the field. Mine this week, also letting know, journalism is doing just fine. Everybody's talking about the demise of journalism. Wrong. USA Today put out an article, a column, a completely reasonable take that if the Cavs are going to win the series, they can't wear matching suits anymore.
What?
Apparently, they would go up, they would go down as the best dressed underachievers ever. I don't know who wrote this for USA Today, but he even invoked Jordan, which I give him so much credit for. It was the classic, would Jordan ever make his teammates dress up all in the same clothes before a playoff series? Which, I don't know if he had any type of fashion sense.
It's just fashion.
Yeah, who cares? It's just fashion.
It's just fashion.
So, journalism clearly not dead. And it didn't quite work because the Cavs came back out in some fire suits and ended up winning the game, and they're probably going to win the series now. I imagine they'll just keep winning, just wearing the same suit idea again, which I have no problem with. I sort of get what LeBron is doing, but even regardless of the team unity thing, they look pretty cool.
They look
cool just coming in through the dungeons.
Yeah. Dude, the NBA is the coolest league for clothing. Hands
Without
down.
A doubt.
There's just no, it's not even close to a competition.
It's just, it was such
a, I mean, it's better than the Texans wearing the Letterman
jackets.
Jerseys. Oh, yeah, Letterman jackets, excuse me.
But in the column, so he also threw David Blatt under the bus, which was kind of weird. Is that did suits have to go like David Blatt, as if David Blatt is relevant to the 2017-2018 Cavs at this point?
Mm.
So moral victory for that guy, because he wrote probably one of the best columns I've ever read. But it is kind of just, within 24 hours,
went
downhill because the Cavs did it again and won the game.
I've got to be 100% honest. I cannot tell how sarcastic this is. if you're like legitimately being sarcastic about how good the article was.
Oh no, it was terrible.
Oh, okay, all right. I just wasn't 100% sure. I'm sitting here just like, is he serious or not?
it's called deadpanning. We went over this before the show. Come on.
Yeah, you're good at deadpanning, buddy.
No team will ever.
That sounded like a deadpan. You patronizing me? I felt patronized.
I don't know.
That's a good deadpan. God.
No team will ever compare to the fatigues from the U. Like, that sets the bar for, like, team dressing.
They lost, too.
They did.
Yeah.
Everything else happened to that,
though.
Who
did they lose to?
Penn State.
Ooh. Mikey with some sports knowledge there.
Yeah, I've seen 30 for 30.
Yeah, when they get off the plane?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. All right, Dougie. Douglas Dash. Give me your...
All right, so... My moral victory of the week here is the Arkansas women's tennis team, who...
you probably don't have to relay this story. I'm sure everybody knows exactly what you're talking about when it comes to women's NCAA women's tennis.
Apparently, in order to get into the NCAA tennis tournament, you know, the end of the year, I guess, winner-take-all national championship tour. I don't know how tennis works in collegiate sports, but so forgive me.
We don't have to check.
But... apparently, what I do know is you have to be 500 in order to get in, and they were just 6 wins short at the end of the year. Came in at a cool 10-16 record, So what did they do?
Just one bounce here or there, and you're over 500.
Yeah. What did they do? What did they do? Did they give up on their season? No. Did they just go home? They just pack up their rackets and go home? No. What did they do? They scheduled 6 matches against Tennessee State all on the same day from 8 a.m. till 7 p.m. And guess what? They went 6-0. Now they're in the tournament.
Didn't they Are you kidding me?
Yeah. No, I swear. Now they're in the tournament. So
are they officially in the tournament, or are they still got to wait for...
I don't think there's like a seed. I don't think there's like bracketology for I think it's just like you're in.
There's no Joey brackets.
No. I mean, the fact that you can just schedule 6 matches against the same team on the last day of the season tells me that they're probably pretty flexible with who gets in and who doesn't.
I'm gonna buy an Arkansas women's tennis shirt.
So let's just
They have a fan. Yeah. They have a new fan of me.
Razorbacks.
Ooh, pick Suey.
Woo! So let's keep an eye on them and see how far they go.
Yeah, we should definitely follow up on this story.
I really hope they upset a number one seed.
That'd be great.
Yeah, it would be.
This is if I've ever heard of a Cinderella story, it's this. Scheduling 6 games on the season's last
to
day
fudge your way
against
in.
Some team that probably was winless this year.
Thanks, Tennessee State.
They should get a ring.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Quick, not a moral victory, but UCF championship rings. I love that. Good for UCF giving themselves national championship rings.
Yeah, I always like to see them decide.
Only undefeated team in the only undefeated team in FBS last year. They deserve it. All right, Mike, give us your moral victory of the week.
It's got to go to Lance. Lance Stevenson, my guy, man.
Lance
the God. Hard to like him as a Knicks fan. It's hard to like any of these Pacers, but Lance is so fun to watch because he gets under LeBron's skin so badly. And in game 4, in the fourth quarter here, I'm literally watching this video right now. Bleacher Report put it out there. Pacers are down. Fourth quarter, about 5 minutes left. Lance and LeBron get tangled up, ball's up for grabs, and it forces a jump ball. Lance decides to rip the ball out of LeBron's arms and holds it up to the Pacers faithful like Simba, going, yeah! Just igniting the crowd. The crowd's going crazy. Of course, they did lose the game, so you can't, it's not like that great of a play, but it is Lance it's Lance being full-on Lance, and I think that anytime you get somebody who is just having this much fun playing basketball, because it is what it's about, man. I hate seeing professional athletes.
That's what our intro song is.
Yeah, it's all
sports.
It's all about. It's all
the
about
thrill of victory.
The agony of defeat.
Sport. We've made it clear, Lance. We won't get back into a top 3 debate, but Lance, JR, and Kyle Korver, and we're gonna end our show on that because so you guys can't get it in. Thank you for joining us. See you next week.